What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Questions with Caden. I am your host, Caden Fabrizio. Honored you clicked on this podcast. It's going to be a really good one today. We have my good friend Colby Schnacki coming on the episode, and we're talking about a really big question. I'm really excited about it. You already read the title. But before we get into that, I got some big announcements, some really cool stuff going on. A few episodes ago, I told you guys that there was going to be an opportunity to begin to partner financially with the podcast in the future. The future is now. There's now an opportunity. If you guys want to, you can go ahead and go to anchor.fm/questionswithcaden. The link will also be in the bio below, and you guys can begin to donate and partner financially with the podcast monthly to help us sustain this podcast, but also take it to new places. I got a lot of vision for this podcast, and I really believe that you guys have the opportunity to partner with what God's doing in this podcast, the way he's speaking to people, and the way that, honestly, people are experiencing freedom, and you can be a big part of that. Obviously, there is no pressure. This podcast is free. It will always be free. But if you do feel led to want to partner with the podcast, there are options. I think there's 99 cents a month, $4.99 a month, and like $9.99 a month. So cheap options and opportunities for you guys to partner with the podcast. Oh, and also we have the podcast now available on Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Odyssey. So three more other options to watch the podcast, as well as on Spotify. You can now watch the podcast on Spotify. We have Spotify video now as well. So if you click on the episode on Spotify, you will have the option to watch a video as well as listen, which is actually really cool. So you can watch a video on Spotify and on YouTube. I'm pretty pumped about it. We're kind of like Joe Rogan now, so, you know, like the biggest podcast in the world, whatever is what it is. But today I'm excited. Let's get into this podcast. Let's get into the conversation with Colby Schnacki. I think it's going to bless you. Obviously, as you can tell, I'm in a totally different shirt. We filmed this about a few weeks ago. I'm doing the intro right now. And this podcast blessed me, man. He's a great guy. What a heart for Jesus. Lives what he speaks. And I think you're going to be blessed. So let's jump in.
Bro, I always wanted a walkout song. Like,
dude, you need it.
Like, I've just always wanted a walkout song. Like, if this podcast ever, like, blows up, I'm doing a walkout
song. We're doing a walkout song.
If I go out on tour for this podcast, we're doing a walkout song.
There's a, what's the song by Macklemore? It's the moped song, Downtown. Just Downtown instrumental is something that I want to walk out to. I want to walk just into a room and that just start playing.
Just a banger. I want to walk out to the beginning of Kanye West. What song does it go where it's like, oh, what song is that? Is that, and that's not All the Lights.
All of the Lights is a great song.
All the Lights is a great song.
I hear you're a big Kanye fan.
I'm a massive Kanye fan.
Dude, I love Kanye. Kanye's
Are you
the,
a big Kanye
dude,
fan?
Kanye's the GOAT. I respect Kanye.
Did you watch a documentary?
I watched the first episode, and then my schedule just kind of picked up. I want to finish the other two.
Honestly, the first episode is the best episode.
Really?
The rest, like, episode two is good, too. Episode three, they, like, ran out of footage. And they just started using, like, stuff everybody already seen before. But it's still, like, a cool story. I don't
really
know, dude. I like Kanye. I think he's a genius. And I think I like seeing people redeemed with the power of Jesus. And I know he walks through what all his stuff. He's got stuff. We all got
Everybody's
stuff.
Everybody's got baggage.
Everybody got stuff. But I think he's a genius, and I love his music.
He's cool.
Anyway, what up, bro? Welcome to the podcast.
Dude, I'm pumped. I haven't done a podcast in a long time, so I'm really excited about right now.
I'm super excited to have you on, man. We have had a bunch of awesome guests.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited to have you on. We've had a lot of women.
Okay.
And so I'm excited to get some guys in the building. We had JD Rogers. Do you know JD?
Love JD.
You know JD?
Oh, no JD. Yeah, him and dude. I, we were chilling in Texas not too long ago. But he's a great guy.
He is top five best guys, just
he's
such
awesome.
A good guy, like such a good heart, and he murdered it on the last podcast. We talked about victory.
Why'd you have me before him? I mean, after him. I can't fill those footsteps.
Bro, I had to fill the footsteps in between. So if I got to do it, you got to do it.
All right, here we go.
He would drop a bar, and I'm going in my head like, I don't know how I'm going to say anything better than that.
Yeah, just move on. Like, you can't. You just go to the next thing.
I just go, all right, next question.
Wow.
No, thank you so much for coming on, dude. I'm so excited to have you.
Today we have a really exciting question. The question is there a problem with my purpose? And talking with Colby, talking about stuff that he is passionate about talking about,
yeah,
along with stuff I'm passionate about talking about, or we're just passionate about people finding their purpose in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And but there is a reality of walking in your purpose, of doing what you're called to do, where you kind of sometimes hit walls, or you hit these moments kind of on your path where you go, this doesn't feel like it's working.
Yeah.
Or this is harder than I thought it was going to be. Or this doesn't look anything like I thought God said it was going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question, is there a problem with my purpose, is massive today. We're going to try and answer that question. And as we always do, we're going to read some foundational scriptures to set the tone. Colby, do you want to read the first one?
Let's do it. I got to pull it up. I got to get it.
Yeah,
right,
pull it
here.
Up. No worries. You're good.
Let me go to your email.
We'll just hit the do.
All right, I got it. It's the it's Proverbs 19:21, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, Proverbs 19:21. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail.
Come on, somebody. It's so good. And Matthew 28:18-20 is a verse that I felt like would be massive for today, because it's a verse that kind of aligns every believer's purpose together. And it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That is what people call the Great Commission, and it is something that aligns all of kind of our purposes and callings.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to help us understand, is there a problem with my purpose today? Colby, do you want to pray for the podcast, and we will jump in?
For sure. Yeah. So, God, we just thank you for everything that you're doing. Lord, I just pray that everybody under the sound of our voices, God, I just pray that they're encouraged, God, that they walk yeah. away from this podcast just either knowing something new about you or just being encouraged by this to keep going with whatever you're calling them to do. So, God, I just pray for Caden specifically, God, that you just continue to bless him and give him the strength and the courage to continue to do what he's doing. And I just pray that this podcast is your words and it's not ours. I just pray that you remove us from it. And, God, it's just a conversation between two believers that just love you. So, God, we love you so much. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, as always, we ask massive questions on this podcast with the goal of really breaking down any barrier that's going to keep you from, one, living out your purpose in Jesus, two, experiencing fullness and freedom in Jesus,
yeah.
but three, and most importantly, experiencing full, true intimacy with Jesus, because I'm just so passionate, and I'm sure Colby is too, about people actually knowing Jesus, like not just knowing religion, not just knowing all the rules, but knowing who he is. And so today we're asking the question, is there a problem with my purpose? And like always, we're going to dissect that down into smaller questions to help us understand. Really, the first question that we need to understand, and Colby, you can go ahead and probably elaborate on this, but what does the Bible say about purpose in general?
Yeah.
And then how do we identify what our own purpose is?
Yeah, I mean, and so the Bible, it's not like intrinsically clear to say on, I'll start here. I think that there's a big confusion in the world between purpose and calling. You know what I mean?
So good.
And I think that a lot of people take the idea between like more like a high schooler trying to figure out what he's going to do in college as the idea for purpose instead of
yeah.
calling.
But yeah,
we need to stop viewing purpose more like a job of like what I'm going to do or what's in the future. And there needs to be a distinct distinction between calling and purpose. And I think we see that a lot in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 10, even Ephesians 4, 17 through 24, which is just, it just talks about what you've been saved from and the life that you're to live now. And I believe that everybody's united in purpose. I mean, especially in the verse that we just read, the Great Commission, I think we're to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But I also think that there is one purpose that the Bible really talks about, and that's just to know God and to make him known. And I think yeah. I think man's chief end purpose or end goal or main purpose in their life is to glorify God and to enjoy who he is. And because when you begin to know God, you begin to fall in love with who he is. And that's what really sets Christianity aside from everything else. It's not about religion, it's about relationship. And everything starts there. And so when you begin to enjoy God and you begin to love God, I think that sets you up to continue to walk in the calling that you have. So I would say that purpose is united. Like Caden's purpose is the same purpose as my purpose, and the same for everybody listening to this. And that's just to glorify God in everything that you do and to enjoy who God is. And then you step into the idea of your individual calling and what that is, you know?
Yeah, I had a professor one time tell me when I was in seminary, he was like, purpose is corporate. Mm-hmm. And calling is individual.
Yeah.
And like you said, I was actually hoping that you were going to say something like this because I was going to. And I was going to wanted to clarify so importantly the difference between purpose and calling. Because like you said, it does get mixed up and people do think my purpose is to be a CPA.
Yeah.
But that might be your calling to show people Jesus through being a CPA. Obviously, my brain's on taxes right now. But,
oh, I got you. Same.
Your purpose is to tell people about Jesus.
Exactly.
Your purpose is to know Jesus. And I think actually me and Dylan, the other day we were talking about what we're made for.
Yeah.
And we were like, you know, it's crazy that we're actually made to know Jesus. Like the core of our design is to be intimate and know Jesus to the point of we know him so well that we almost know him better than ourselves. That is like the purpose of like us being created was to know him, and everything happened in the fall and that separated us. And then Jesus came and brought us back to that original purpose. But like you said, it's easy to get distracted and think like, okay, well, my purpose is this separate from everything else. But like you said, Colby, our purpose is to tell people about Jesus and to know Jesus.
Yeah.
And what we do and how we do that is what I would say is our calling.
Exactly.
So when you're in that season of like, okay, what is my purpose?
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to understand purpose.
Yeah.
So how do we identify calling? But then also, how do we identify our calling? And then when we find our calling, use that to tell people about Jesus.
Yeah. And so I think everything, it all coexists. I think you can't walk in your calling unless you're walking in your purpose. And that's glorifying and enjoying Jesus. And I think that's the simple gospel that we hear about. It's that Jesus wants a relationship with us, and we hear about everything that he did for us. And through that love, like he speaks to us, and it just gives us power to walk in everything that he has for us. Cause we are on mission.
Yeah.
We do have things specifically for each one of our lives, and the things that you have aren't the things that I have. And it's beautiful. It really is. And so I've spent a lot of time thinking about like just this question throughout my life. And what I came to the conclusion was, is that I don't think God is going to call you into something that you don't like. You know, I think he's going to call you into things that are hard. I think he's going to call you into things that are uncomfortable, but I don't think he's going to call you into something that you don't truly enjoy.
Yeah.
And what I would argue for people saying is like, I don't think I don't really like the thing that God's called me into. I think that if you're operating in your calling, there's an overwhelming amount of satisfaction and joy that comes from fulfilling that.
Yeah.
And so if you're not feeling those type of things, I would argue that you're not actually walking in the thing that God has for you. But also, I've told people that, so just chase the things that you love. Like if you enjoy doing what you're doing, and you can glorify God through that, and you can and you really truly enjoy doing it, I would say pursue it, because God is ultimately going to lead you to where he needs you to go. And so I look at a lot of things through just this filter of, because I like to do a lot of things, right? But not everything is part of my calling. And I think sometimes we confuse the idea of like, oh, I really enjoy this and it's a hobby. I can enjoy going out on the lake and wakeboarding, but I don't think it's my calling, you know? And so I would say, am I able to glorify God through this? And is this where I truly believe that God is operating or calling me to operate in? And that comes from spending time with God, which goes back into your purpose. And then using that mission field to glorify him. And so, for instance, like I have this story with social media, you know? And the thing that I do, I grew up and I always wanted to be a speaker. You know, that's what I wanted. I wanted to do that. And nothing I ever did was really operating in that zone. I knew I was called to it. I knew I had a heart to do it. I knew I loved doing it. But everything, whether it was working in a restaurant or doing something else, it just didn't seem like it aligned. And so I had this dream and I had this vision over here, but my life was over here. And then social media came out of nowhere. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? Like I'm growing in an area that's totally separate from where I truly feel like I'm called to. And what I realized is that I loved social media. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed making videos and doing it with my friends, and I could glorify God through it. And what I realized is that as I pursued it and as time went on and I gave it patience and time for it to grow, that they actually started to converge and like meet. And so I would say that chase the things that you love, and if it glorifies God and you truly enjoy doing it, I believe that God's going to take that and use it for his glory. And ultimately, it just comes from being prayerful. And so that's what I would say.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I had a friend call me the other day, and he was just like, yo, Cade, how do I find my purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I was like, you know what? I feel like a lot of times we find our purpose and our calling at the intersection of our gifts and God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
And when we find what, like you said, what we're good at, where there's a natural ease, where we feel almost like our soul's on fire when we're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, like when we feel the presence of God in what we're doing, that's how we know that's our gifts. We're just naturally good at stuff.
True.
And then you find what you're graced at when you see what God's hand is on. Like, mm-hmm. what kind of doors are just opening for me? You know, what kind of things are just happening? Like, why is social media coming out of nowhere for me? You know what I mean? Because God's hand is on it.
Yeah, so, there was that message by Christine Kane a while ago. It was like talking about the dark room and stuff. And
yeah.
I loved it so much because it answered the question of like for instance, not saying you want to, but like if you wanted to do social media, right? Like anybody could try and do social media, but there's like a certain grace of people that are called to it. And yeah. so something might be super hard for one person, but also super easy for the other. And I love that God made us so differently, and yeah. we all need each other so much. And so I love what you're saying.
Yeah. It's like that message from Christian Kane is unreal.
Dude, it's fire.
About the that dark room, I'm like all the time, like, Lord, just take develop me in the
dark. For real.
It's so good. But it's I think that's honestly a great illustration for the continued topic of what we're talking about today. Like when you come in those, first of all, when you understand your purpose and then you understand your calling,
mm-hmm.
Like we said, there is an ease to like some of these things, but it doesn't mean that it's not going to be hard. There's more of like a peace, I'd say, like over stuff. And like, doesn't mean that sometimes you're not going to have to say like, all right, I got to push through. Like, I got to have faith that this is going to work out. I've got to continue to steward what God's placed in my life. I've got to continue to write. I've got to continue to make videos. I've got to mm-hmm. continue and trusting in that, even when things feel like maybe it's in a lull. And I just feel like so often you experience a lull before the launch. And so you just got to sit and you got to pray and you got to be, like you said, faithful. I was, I don't even know this, but I'm a writer. So I was writing a new devotional this morning on peace.
Okay.
Actually, everyone listening,
let's go.
Keep a watch out. These things are coming out soon. But I was reading Psalm 85:8 today, and I wasn't actually going to share this, but something you said like sparked it. And it's Psalm 85:8 says, I listen carefully to what God, the Lord is saying, for he speaks peace to his faithful people, but let them not return to their foolish ways.
Mm.
And I, when you said like, it all comes down to faith, this verse kind of sparked in my mind because it's crazy how this verse says he speaks peace to his faithful people. Like the scripture is alluding to the correlation between faith and peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you're in these seasons of, you know, is there a problem with my purpose? What's going on? You know, like,
yeah.
I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I know this. I'm sitting in my calling. I know that I'm taking steps. I'm being faithful.
But nothing's happening.
Nothing's happening.
Yeah.
I know that when the Bible says, you could, like in 85a, it says, be faithful and God gives peace.
Mm.
And I think maybe there's someone listening to this podcast today that needs to know, like, you just need to continue to be faithful in this season.
Yeah.
You continue to be faithful in this season, wherever God has placed you, whatever you're waiting on, whatever you think, like maybe you have a dream to speak and no speaking mm-hmm. engagements have happened. Continue to be faithful. Continue to find ways to speak, even if you're speaking to yourself in a mirror. Find
True.
Ways to continue to work in your giftings. Find ways to continue to move forward and have faith to be in your purpose. And I think like Colby, I mean, you're so good at this, like, taking one thing like social media, something God has given you, mm-hmm. a platform, and then saying, okay, how am I going to use what I've been given to glorify Jesus? So what would you tell people who are saying, is there a problem with my purpose? Is there a problem with my calling? What is going on?
Yeah.
What would you tell people that they have something right in front of them What kind of tips would you give them for them to use what they have to glorify Jesus?
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to get rid of the idea that God moves when we ask him to move, like, right away.
Wow.
You know? And I really do. And something that that God's really taken me through right now, also my brother and just a lot of us, is just this idea of patience and, like, being patient with God. And, when we talk about this and when things aren't going right, the story that comes to my mind is the story of Joseph. You know, you look at his life, but, like, he was so faithful in everything that he did, but he also did not see any fruit for a very long time. Like, he was, he was sold by his brothers, he got put in jail, and he was there, and he was rotting, and then but he was living out his dreams, and he was being faithful to where God called him to be. And at the end of the story, after so many years, then you finally see fruit come to fruition. And my encouragement would just be exactly what you said, is that, like, don't put a timeline on God. If you're called to something and you know you're called to it, there shouldn't be a timeline on it. It's just like, I enjoy what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing. I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. So it doesn't matter what things are going on the outside. If I'm not seeing success, if I'm not seeing anything going on, obviously I'm the type of person where I'm very goal driven and I want to see those things be finished. And I want to check it off and I want to move to the next thing. But what I've learned a lot lately, especially through everything going on that I'm doing, is that God has his own timeline. And a lot of the times those timelines do not coexist. And when I ask God to do something, or when I expect God is going to do something, oftentimes he's going to lead me through a period of waiting. And I just got to be faithful with what he has right now. And so I started thinking of it as a challenge, which is this is what I came to, is because I would always ask God, is it time to move on to the next thing? Is it time to move on to the next thing? And then I would get frustrated and I was like so upset about it all the time. And then I started coming to I felt like God put it in my hand. It's like, is God still good when the answer is no?
Wow.
It's like, is he holding me back from something? Is it like, I know I want to move on to the next thing. I still feel like I should be moving on to the next thing. And so, like, God's not good if he's not moving me to the next thing. And so I started saying, is God still good even if the answer is no? And the answer is yes. And oftentimes, when I'm going through that season of waiting, or I'm not seeing anything happen, a lot of the times it's him setting up other people so that when that next stage is ready, like it's set. So when I get there, I'm able to step into that and not have to worry about anything, because everything you need is right where you need it to be. And so, you nailed it. It's more about endurance and patience than it is about doing anything more, you know? Just completely operate with what you have right now and be faithful. Don't just sit. Don't just wait. Don't just wait on God. Like, when you're waiting, like, your hands are still active, you know? So make the most of your season of waiting, and then be faithful, and God will take you there when he's ready to take you there.
Yeah, it's so good. I was at a conference one time, and Lisa Bevere was there speaking, and she said, don't open any doors yourself.
Yeah.
Because when you open them yourself, you have to keep them open yourself. But when God opens the doors, there's not a principality, a demon, a person, anything that can shut that door.
Come on.
And I think there's such solace in, like, that idea of thinking, like, you know what, there's genuinely nothing I can do for myself that will be better than what God does.
True.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Just like that's something that I've had to come to, like, terms with fairly recently in my life, is that there's nothing that I can do that can make my life better than what God already had in store for me. You know what I mean? And so, like, that's something that we need. That's a pill that we need to swallow. We need to come to terms with, is that there's nothing that you can do in your own power that is better than what God has for you.
Absolutely. And in this culture of, like, let's grind, like, let's just grind, don't stop. Like, let's just keep it going. Like, we're going to work, we're going to have five different jobs, we're going to keep grinding, we're going to post a million times on social media, blah, 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 just keep going, keep going. Like, everyone's like, the most successful people are like, I only sleep 4 hours a night.
I'm like, okay.
God's going, yeah, it's like, okay, good for you. The God's going, yeah, but with me, there's peace in your purpose.
Yeah.
Like, with me, there's a calm to what you do. Like, with me, there's a steadiness to how you move. Like,
true.
I don't know if you've ever read the book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark
Comer.
That
is such a good book. Oh my
god, dude!
Gosh.
I'm in the middle of reading that right now, and it's blowing my mind.
Dude,
like it's
every
blowing my
chapter
mind,
is
also,
so good.
It's so good, dude. It's giving me a different pace. Like it's giving me a different pace to grace. Like it's like I'm just moving a little bit different since I've been reading that book because I'm starting to gain the revelation of like, what am I gonna do?
Yeah,
you know, like obviously, like I need to be a steward of what God's given me, and a part of being faithful is multiplying what God's given you. We see that in the parable of the talents.
Yeah,
but there's also a aspect to saying like, but at the end of the day, like God has already done it. Like the victory is already won. So I'm just waiting, and I'm just walking, and I'm just trusting, and I'm just living in this just peace. Like I think there has to be a level of peace and tranquility that you walk in and live in when you're trying to walk out your purpose and calling in the Lord.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing more that the enemy wants to do than to just like freak you out and like stress you out and like,
true,
like you said, act like you're behind or you're not good enough or you haven't done enough.
Mm-hmm.
So when earlier you were like, you were saying you're a super goal oriented guy, and I'm the same way. Like I am a keep it pushing. Like if I didn't stop myself, I'd be like, I need to see results every day.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the reality. And I also don't think that that's what God wants us to live in.
No.
So how would you actually say that Jesus would weigh success in our purpose and in our calling?
Yeah, I think that, it's not material. I think we get so focused on the idea of seeing a number grow or seeing something physical happen in our own lives through material objects or just anything with like a number. I think numbers growing is a big thing in our culture, whether it be money, whether it be following, whether it be like, you know, whatever it is. I think that should never be how you weigh success. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong or any reason to like not look at it as a goal to hit a number or something like that. Like I do that. But when you start to find your value in whether or not you're hitting that number or you're getting roadblocked or upset because that number's not coming, there, I think you kind of need to change your mindset just a little bit, because I think that if going back to the first question, like what is my purpose, and it's to glorify God and to enjoy who He is, and then we also have the calling to become more Christ-like. I think we should start looking at like, do I have the fruits of the Spirit? Like, am I growing in that? Am I loving people more? Am I going out of my way to be a servant for people? Am I doing things that Jesus would do? And as you start to see those things shift, I think that's how you should start weighing success. It shouldn't be about gaining things. You know what I mean? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But when it becomes your goal and your main focus, that's when I think that you need to kind of shift a little bit, because our goal in life is to become more like Christ, you know? Mm-hmm. And so as we do that, I think that's how we should weigh success. And I think those are just like, just even just focusing more on who Jesus is. And really what I did recently was I read back through the Gospels, and I just started like looking at the way that Jesus interacted with people, looking at the way that, like, even going back to the ruthless elimination of hurry, one of my favorite things is that John Mark Comer said is that Jesus was never in a hurry. Yeah. He was never rushing. Like even when his best friend, like Lazarus was dead, he's like, all right. And he took 2 days just to even get there. You know, like he was never in a hurry. He was never rushing. And I think it would do us a lot of good to learn how Jesus walked on this earth. And so you shouldn't base success based off of a number growing or monetary value or anything like that. It should be like, am I more like Jesus than I was yesterday? You know, and it's such a foo-foo answer. I know it's the reality is that it's not foo-foo when you try to do it because it's so hard.
No, for real. And I think, when like the culture we live in, Western culture, it's like you said, it's identified by like as analysis on numbers and what you see. And that's kind of like how we gauge success.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, maybe the success should be, do we look like Jesus? Like maybe the success should be like, do we have integrity? Like, how's my character? You know, like when I get to wherever God's taking me, is my character even going to uphold what He hands me?
True.
You know, like, I think if Jesus took 33 years before he decided to start his ministry, like, mm-hmm. maybe we could take 3 more months, you know, or like,
yeah.
maybe we can take 3 more years to develop and to spend time with God and mm-hmm. to identify who he's called us to become more like him, to become intimate with him, to let him weed out and work out the stuff that he needs to.
True.
I think that is a mark of success. Like you said, is success in your purpose and calling shouldn't be what you're producing,
mm-hmm.
but it should be what you've received from Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think when we step more into, let me receive Jesus, who you are, let me receive your presence, God, let me receive your supernatural heavenly wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Let me receive. I think that's a mark of success for the Christian.
Yeah. And
secondly, I'd say, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with setting goals for yourself either.
No,
you know, even going back to that, because I hate like seeming too Christian. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because
it's like I like setting goals. I like giving myself deadlines to get things done. But even just going back to what I said just a second ago is that it's not bad to set goals, but it's bad when those goals become who you are. You know?
Yeah. It's
because
so good.
Who you're supposed to be is to be like Jesus, and so
yeah,
that's where I'll leave that.
I think Jesus had a goal.
Yeah.
When he, you know, like Jesus had a goal when he was here. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to tear down the religious structures that the Israelites built up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tear down the thoughts and the negative thought patterns that people developed about God. And I'm going to break through sin and I'm going to get to the heart of man. And
yeah.
he did that. You know, I think secondly, when you weigh success as a believer and even you weigh impact or importance or whatever of your calling or purpose, if that's what you want to do,
mm-hmm.
it always has to be about people.
True.
Like the kingdom of God is about people. It's not about things.
No.
You know, it's not about how many trips you can go on or how many shoes you can buy. You know, it's not about that. It's about people. And I think if you're calling, if you can identify on your purpose and your calling, is there a problem with my purpose? Well, is your purpose selfish?
Yeah.
Is your purpose all about you? Is your purpose about you getting on the stage? Is your purpose about you making money? Is your purpose about you gaining followers?
Mm-hmm.
Or is your purpose about getting on a stage so that thousands of people can hear about Jesus?
Yeah.
Is your purpose gaining a following so more people will follow Jesus? That has to be the mindset that propels us into purpose and calling. It has to be people.
For sure. It has
to be impact. And like you said, it's easy. I mean, we do the same thing. You just do it better than I do. We do social media and podcasting, and it's so easy to look at numbers.
True.
And get discouraged and be like, okay, well, this didn't do it as well as this, or how come this blew up but this didn't? Why
mm-hmm.
is this? And start to look at numbers, but I catch myself and go, no, these are people.
Yeah.
Like, this is impact. What would you tell listeners, and maybe you have some tips or just even a perspective or encouragement for people to help them keep a mindset of a selfless purpose?
Yeah, I mean, I like before, we live in a day and age where a number is everything, you know? And it's really not. I mean, and I look at the story of, and we should really just adopt this trait. And like, I'm speaking for myself too. It's like, yeah, I do have a big reach, but I want to adopt the mindset that Jesus and God have, which is just the idea that he goes after the one. And so even in that in itself and that whole story, and I'm just like thinking about this now, kind of dispels the myth that you have to have a number to be impactful. Because if God has 100 people, but he's going to go pursue the one that's walking away, that means that anybody who's talking to just one person has the exact same, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like I want to adopt the mentality that even if with a number that you or I have, that even if I can just impact one person for the kingdom and change
Absolutely.
Their entire life around, obviously it's not me changing their life around, but like be a vessel that God can use to speak to that person, like that's worth it to me. And I want to get into the mindset and the belief that I want to be just like Jesus in that terms, and not be discouraged about a number. This video didn't perform this way. This video did way better than this. Why is this doing it? All this type of stuff. And I want to be more obsessed and concerned about did that one person hear about the gospel, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it just goes into reprogramming how you think, because it's so easy to just look at a social media platform or something and be discouraged based off, like for instance, today I have a YouTube video, right? This is just me talking. Like, And the way that YouTube like does it is it gives you the best 10 videos and it tells you how good your videos did based off of the last 10 videos that you did. Number one being the best, 10 being the worst. I have a video in 10th place right now. And so it's like, oh, this sucks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's still great at the same mm-hmm. time, because you look at the number and you're like, wow, that's a lot of people that are impacted. And so don't be discouraged by a number. It doesn't like it, the bigger doesn't mean the better, you know? And so,
yeah, good.
So chase Worth. After the one, and even if you're talking to one person, like treat that, like, cause that's who God went after. He went after the one.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, you could be sitting in your office or your classroom, and just because you're like, your purpose doesn't look sexy, doesn't mean it's not important. And I think you could be sitting in your classroom, or you could be sitting in your car with your carpool buddy.
True.
You could be on a golf course with a friend. You know, you could be anywhere, but you can be showing people Jesus by the way you live
mm-hmm.
and by the way that you speak and by the way that you love.
Yeah.
And like you said, the mindset has to be more when it comes to, maybe is there a problem with my purpose? Maybe the problem is that we stopped focusing on the one.
Wow.
Maybe the problem, like you said, is that we have started to look at a culmination of people as better than just an individual soul.
True.
And maybe the problem with our purpose is that we have started to think that purpose and success are similes to a good life,
mm-hmm.
when that's not the truth.
No.
The truth is that knowing Jesus, like you said, is our purpose, and knowing him intimately is why we were made.
Yeah.
And maybe the only problem with our purpose is that we're not spending enough time with him.
I'm really trying to do good at that.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And my dad right now is really big on don't try to fit Jesus into your busy schedule. Fit your busy schedule into Jesus, you know?
So good. Yeah.
And so that's what he's really kind of pushing down into our heads right now, is just like, don't just make time for God, like in your schedule, you know, like schedule everything around that.
Yeah. I saw a tweet from Ben Fitzgerald the other day, and he mm-hmm. was like, I don't have a Twitter, but it was on Instagram, but he was like, he said something along the lines, and I'm just going to mess it up, but it'll be similar enough. He was like, how come we have perpetuated a narrative that says, if you have 10 minutes a day to spend with Jesus, do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then go live your life, when it should be, we should be putting Jesus at the forefront, pushing our life around our time with Jesus, like scheduling Jesus as important as getting to a meeting with at our job, you know? And I think that's that alone, more time with God will change your life.
It's like, true.
The last year of my life, I spent more time in the secret place, more time in the quiet place with Jesus than I have in my entire life. And it changed my life.
Wow.
It changed the way I viewed my purpose, my calling. It changed the way I viewed myself. It changed everything
mm-hmm.
because I just spent more time with him. And I think that's an easy tip for people listening today, is like, a lot of the problems with your purpose get ironed out when you just spend time in the presence of God.
Spend time with Jesus. A lot of confusion goes away.
A lot.
Yeah.
So much clarity. So it's so funny too, because even in moments where like you are reading the word and then you're maybe praying or you're worshiping, and maybe that day you didn't even feel like you heard God, or mm-hmm. you felt like God didn't place anything on my heart. I didn't hear him. There wasn't like this, some supernatural experience. I didn't have this vision, you know, like,
yeah,
you still get up and you still go, I have some clarity about some stuff.
Yeah.
Like I have some peace that I wasn't carrying when I started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the atmosphere shifts, like my mind is renewed in a different way.
Changes,
you know, it's a game changer.
Yeah, that's the big thing that people we associate. It's kind of how we feel. We treat Jesus like we treat love sometimes, which is, it's not love if you don't feel it, you know.
Yeah,
and
that's good.
And the same thing goes with Jesus, but like Jesus, like an encounter with Jesus isn't just a feeling, you know.
Yeah, it's
like
not.
Things in your life change, like you said. Like I do have more peace walking around today than I did the other day. You know, even just reading your Bible, it doesn't even have to be a place. And so, dude, you're so right.
Absolutely. Well, bro, we're at the end of our time, but thank you so much for coming on the podcast, man. You were a blessing to have on.
So fun.
Dude, a blast. You're such a good guy, dude.
Thanks, man.
Actually, I'm going to be in Orlando in November.
Well, come through. You can bring me a birthday present.
Is it your birthday in November?
November 10th.
I'll be there like the 11th.
Let's go. I'm excited.
We're going to have a birthday. We're going to do like some birthday hangs. That'll be fun, dude.
That'll be fun, man.
Awesome.
Well, hey, Kobe, it was honestly an honor to have you on, man. I know you got such a busy schedule and you got so much going on, but I appreciate you taking your time to speak to our listeners. And you encouraged me. I love you. I'm in your corner if you ever need anything.
Love it, bro. Just give me a call. Thanks so much for having me, man. I'll see you.
Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Have you ever considered yourself a messenger? Whether it's mics like this, bookshelves around the world, stages to take, or art to make, or perhaps businesses to build, it's time we start testifying truth unashamedly, creatively, and in love. My name is Tamara Andress, the host of the Messenger Movement podcast, which is designed to catalyze Christians to speak, write, build, and testify. If you're ready to turn your message into a movement and want to run with other messengers doing the thing at scale globally, search and follow the Messenger Movement podcast on your favorite podcast platform today or lifeaudio.com.